Are we just the gym where all the people come that are kind of broken and they don't want to exercise? And yeah, we do that. Is that all we do? No. We have clients that come in that want to be pushed every session. You know, this is the cool thing about the dynamics of like a family, is that you don't, not everybody's just the same. You have a lot of people that are in different places. They have different goals. They have different ideas, mentality. I mean, everybody's so unique. Cheesy intro line in 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Fitness Line Down podcast, where I am your host and owner extraordinaire, Corey Kripe. So I hope I don't get in trouble with this podcast episode, and I probably will. I just hope I don't put my foot in my mouth. And that's not just like clickbait, not trying to get you to listen on a little bit longer, but I've just, you know, there's a lot of recollection that I do. I don't know if it's, you get to a certain age where you start thinking more and you start pondering a little bit about life and where you've been and where you're going. But you know, I feel like recently with the podcast episodes with our good friend Josh Henkin and just some kettlebells and coffee and just my internalization about the world of fitness, you know, and I think anybody out there that's been listening knows that I've been a little hard on the fitness industry and instructors and trainers and coaches and those involved. And, you know, I kind of want to lay a couple things straight, but also talk about how we see things more at Fitness Lying Down. And this isn't going to be just a repeat of, oh, here Corey goes again talking about how everybody's so mean to their clients and they beat them up, they make them sweaty, they get them tired. You know, isn't that way fitness is supposed to be? You know, can we just like get back on to doing the fitness and strength training and just grunting and groaning? Okay, well, yes, I want to go there. That's where actually my conversation wants to lead to. But I also just want to kind of acknowledge the fact that, hey, you know, and Josh says this, and I'm totally hook, line, and sinker with it, is the industry, like any other industry in this world, could do so much better. You know, I don't think that we could just look out at the population and see the amount of comorbidities, chronic diseases, obesity, and all this, and just say like, hey, that's on us. That's on us in the industry because we're not sending the right messages. But I do think that we're involved. I think that we could have a better approach and that we could be a little bit more proactive. And yes, I believe we can be empathetic to those populations. And instead of alienating them and outcasting them and saying like, hey, if you don't look like you work out, then you know you're an outlier now. Or actually, I'm sorry, if you do look like you're working out, you're an outlier and we need to stick together. And then we just kind of shun this other group of people that maybe they don't have the physical appearance that like, hey, they exercise on a regular basis. Maybe they do and you just don't know it because of their physical appearance. Maybe they are trying hard and they're doing what they can. They're doing what they know. And they need some better motivation. They need some better leadership and some more realistic education. And, you know, one of the reasons why I love doing what we do here at Fitness Lying Down is, I don't know, you could talk about like price points. And I know if you compare us to the YMCA, just having a general membership at the YMCA or the Planet Fitness or one of these other like 24/7 gyms where you just have your membership and you go in and you basically have the opportunity to work with the endless amount of equipment. And you're paying $10, $20, $30 a month. I don't even know where it is anymore. But yeah, I guess if you're comparing us to that, we're more expensive. But I would also argue that we're more valuable because you're not just coming in to rent our equipment. See, that's what you do when you go to a 24/7, the YMCA, anything else, is you pay a little bit of money and you just go in to rent the equipment. You dip, you dink, you dilly, you dally, and you just kind of, maybe under like the guidance of the internet, you know, some YouTube workout you searched, you kind of have an idea of like, oh, this is what I should do on a Monday. This is what I should do on a Wednesday. And this is what I should do on a Friday. Well, anybody that knows anything about like meal planning, and you know, because what do I hear? I hear my wife, a registered dietitian. I hear Megan, our registered dietitian. How many times do clients and patients go to them and just say, just tell me what to eat. I just tell me what to eat and I will eat it and I will get healthier and I will lose X amount of pounds. But we know that that doesn't really last. That's not very sustainable because human nature is just, we want to rebel. And if you tell me not to do something, if you tell me not to eat something, if you tell me to only eat this, I'm going to rebel. And then there's going to be consequences. Now, those consequences, they could be physical, but I feel like most of those consequences are emotional. Like, oh, shoot, I let them down. You know, how many times are we shaming ourselves because we fell off the wagon, right? And I always love it. Megan has a great, great image of the fact that, hey, if you fell off the wagon one weekend, let's say you're just doing great. You're sticking with all your goals. You're being supportive. You're being supported. And all of a sudden, you have a weekend. You have a night. I don't know. And you fall off the wagon. It might just be a breakfast situation, a breakfast decision that you made one morning where it wasn't the best decision. Well, if you're driving down the road and you get a flat tire, are you going to slash the other three tires? No. You're going to repair that original flat tire and you're going to get moving on. But we sabotage ourselves so much and then we just slash all our tires. So it's human nature. We have to understand that, yes, this happens, but we don't have to be done. We don't have to be over with how we're moving forward. Because that image that I love to use too is kind of like how life goals go, how working towards your goals goes. It's not just a straight line from the bottom left-hand corner to the top right-hand corner. It's not just this nice seamless line that goes up. It's a lot of peaks and valleys. But it always tends, when you look back at retrospect, it's always going in that direction. So that's where you want to be with your mentality. And this is why we have to give ourselves grace. And that's why I'm so bound to be empathetic to our clients, to give them that grace, to meet them where they're at, not to shame them, not to make them feel bad, to celebrate those small victories that even though it might not seem very big to a lot of people, we know that this is going to be a great victory for them. So it's all about lifestyle changes, and lifestyle changes just don't happen overnight. They don't happen in the first 21 days. They don't happen in the first 6, 9, 12 months. These are long game kind of decisions. And sometimes when you're playing the long game, there's errors that happen. There's fouls. There's penalties, you know, if you will, in the sporting analogy, using the terms. Well, this happens in life. But guess what you do? You rehab, you shake it off, you get back on, you know, you keep fighting the good fight. And if you're working with people that aren't helping you get there, well, just like any other player or any other kind of owner of a team or anything, you fire the people, you go hire some new people. That's just how it goes. You first have conversations with them, right? Like, hey, we hired you to do this. You're not doing that. You know, I'm going to give you another chance because I want to communicate with you what my expectations are and what you're giving me. I think it's always fair to do that. But at the end of the day, if they're not bringing you to where you need to be, how you feel like you should be going there, you need to have that autonomy. You got to be an advocate for yourself. So I feel like going on and on and on, which I do so well. But that's just where I feel like it should be when it comes to making the decisions. And as I kind of go back full circle, renting equipment at gyms versus getting that experience. So that's what we do here at Fitness Lying Down. As I mentioned earlier, it's not so much, I understand if you compare us to those other gyms, yes, we are more expensive when you look at it, when you compare that. But again, you're comparing apples to oranges here. But if you look at personal training, which we do, or group training, and our group training is not just some of those classes where people just show up and they move around and the instructor's up there doing the exercises with them. Our group training, as anybody from Fitness Lying Down knows, we are laser focused on coaching. We are helping you out. We've got very effective and efficient cues to give you to put you in positions where you're successful, you're strong, you're able to overcome any challenges. And if there's not enough challenge, we have ways to increase that challenge. And always, you know, thank you, DVRT system, that those increases in difficulties, those progressions, isn't necessarily like, hey, let me give you a heavier weight. Or, you know, on the flip side, I was thinking about this because I get sucked in sometimes. I watch some of these social media videos of gyms that I follow because I want to see what other people are doing, right? Not that I'm trying to copy them, but I want to just see what's the pulse of the fitness industry in the area. And how many times do I see the fact that, okay, you can't do that exercise. Let me give you this other exercise, this modification, quote unquote, that actually has nothing to do with building you up for this exercise that we're trying to get you to, right? It's not actually teaching you anything. It's just a matter that, okay, you're going to do something that looks similar to it. Once again, the biggest example I like to use are push-ups. So all of a sudden you got somebody, you got the standard push-up, hands and feet on the ground, you're doing your thing, but then you have somebody that's unable to do the standard push-up, so you give them the modified push-up. Well, what's the problem with that? You know, you go down to the knees, now that person can go through the motion. It looks like, hey, it looks like a push-up, smells like a push-up, it's got to be a push-up. I'm going to say no, because the fact that what's the difference between the standard push-up and that modified push-up? Most of you out there have already guessed it because you've heard me talk about this, but it's the feet. The modified push-up, the feet are off the ground. Well, when you're in a push-up position, you got to understand that the push-up is not an upper body exercise. It is a connection from your feet to your hands, and that energy transfer has to be efficient through your core. Well, the core can only work when the feet are working. The core can only work when the hands are working. You take out one of those things, it's not going to work as well. So all of a sudden, your modified push-up becomes like more of a shoulder workout. And so you're going through the motions, but that's not actually teaching you for a push-up. Same thing with like chin-ups. How many times do we do supported chin-ups? Or not supported, we do assisted chin-ups. Supported chin-ups actually get you there. Assisted chin-ups. So you got somebody that struggles to do chin-ups. Hey, I struggle at doing chin-ups. I can only do so many at a time. I'm not very good at it, and that's okay. But what I don't do is I don't throw a band underneath my foot, attach it to the bar, and let the band do most of the work for me. So again, giving people these irrelevant exercises that have nothing to do with actually building the necessary strength for this exercise that you want them to be at. But we're just doing that. So we have such smarter ways, right? Our tagline, better movement, smarter fitness. We have smarter ways to put people in positions that actually build them into those upcoming challenges, those progressions that we want to get them to. That's the cool thing about fitness lying down, is that we're just not a bunch of random exercises. Every session that you enjoy, every session that you experience is actually a building block to the next opportunity that we're wanting to give to you. But you have to earn it. And people have been here and they've been earning it for 9+ years, some of these people. They're getting ready for the next challenge. And some of these exercises that they already know very well, but we continue to cycle them through their programs when it's time, they become so proficient with these exercises that they can use maybe a heavier load. Maybe it's not costing them as much energy to do this because their body already knows this language, but it's a good review. I mean, how cool is that? It's just, it gets me really, really excited. I mean, so excited to think like, this is how we experience fitness here at Fitness Lying Down, and how we train not just the person that comes in as physical parts. Like, oh, okay, you come in, there's your physical body, we're gonna compartmentalize. You know, we talk about this, like, today we're gonna work this body part, tomorrow we're gonna work that body part. It's like, no, we're gonna work the whole unit together because you are a being, not a doing so much. This is who you are. And we're going to train you as you are. So we want to make sure we're honoring those connections. So it's kind of funny because, and I've talked about this too, I love the movie The Matrix. Big fan. And I just feel like, you know, I see things like Neo might see it with The Matrix. Now, I can always see things better, no doubt. I'm continually learning. I'm constantly curious about how to improve myself, but how to improve our training and our coaching and all that here at Fitness Lying Down. But there is something now where when I see the body, especially with the myofascial integrated movement, aka the MIM, I'm seeing the body not just as like these parts, but it's like in my eyes, I can see the connections throughout the body, especially as where people are doing the MIM things. I can see how that body wants to move through these lines. It's just mind-blowing. And I just think like how in the beginning we were just taught, we're instructed as fitness professionals, sets, reps, get the people through their workout, get them sweaty, get them tired, get their heart rate up, send them out the door, they'll come back the next day. And that's where I want to kind of lead with this to a certain point, is that even though we're talking about the trainers that are not doing their best, And I just don't think they might not know their best yet. They don't know exactly what they have the potential to do to help people. But the education that we get as fitness instructors, you know, it's not worth a 4-year degree. I'm sorry. I've said this before, maybe more in secretive tones. What I do, I don't think you need a 4-year degree to do. Now, is there some education that's required? Absolutely. I do feel like maybe some kind of like a vocational school, tech school, having something where you learn some of the parts of the body, you learn, and maybe what we can do is we can kind of bring this into a little bit more of a well-rounded field where we have some kind of like counseling classes. How do you actually communicate? How do you do like motivational interviewing where you're asking the right questions? You know, because we interact with people so much in the gym. We interact with people more than their medical doctors probably do. We interact with them more than their dentists, more than their hairdressers. Anybody that's willing to or is being hired to help these individuals, more likely than not, we see them so much more. So we should have a better toolbox, not just exercise toolbox, but we should have a better like toolbox of communication. Knowing what to ask, knowing what you're actually looking for when you ask that question, and maybe what are the answers actually telling you? Because more often than not, when a client gives you an answer, it's just like the surface of what's going on. So sometimes you got to peel back those layers and find out the true meaning of where they're coming from. And that takes experience for sure. But it might be good for some of our younger people that are fired up about the industry to give them these points of view. That they don't despair so easily, because I know that can be really easy in this industry as a young trainer to be asking your clients to do these exercises and they're unable to do it because knee pain, because of shoulder pain, because of back pain. And you get to that point where it's like, well, no, you're just not doing it my way. Or maybe you are doing it my way. Am I not doing a good enough job? Like there's so many things that could actually lead to a fitness professional leaving the industry, which could have been totally prevented with some good sound education. And hey, everybody's different. This is not a one-size-fits-all industry, right? Like people don't just come in and they're just, here you are, person A, person B, person C, pretty much all the same. Let's just run them through. They all got shoulders. They all have knees. They all have backs. They have quadriceps. They have all these body parts. Let's just put them through the workout. One size fits all. No, it's very much more. I like to use that image. Once again, a lot of imagery today. The garden and the mold. So we in the industry, so I want people, like even though I harp on us in the industry, and I do point at me because this is where I was, and I had no idea of anything better because this is what I was taught through schooling. This is what I taught myself as I exercised back in junior high, high school, through college. You know, the whole no pain, no gain, you're sore, just buck up, you know, pull your pants up and go back to the gym. You know, it's just like, a lot of people don't do that. They don't want to do that. And I don't blame them for not wanting to do that. We're weird in the industry. We like pain. We like to feel the soreness. We like to exercise. A lot of people out there, they don't like to do that. But they're willing to do this, but at a certain level. So the garden and the mold. When we were taught in fitness school, quote unquote fitness school, it's basically the mold. Hey, here is a round hole. Round pegs fit in there. If you are a square peg, I'm still going to make sure you fit in that round hole, right? So it's like it is a one size fits all. This is my program. These are the exercises that I have for you. This is what you have to do to reach your fitness goals. And if it's going to cause you some pain, so be it. So you hurt your shoulder during my workout. Okay, well, you got to have that happen in order to reach your fitness goals. Sorry, no pain, no gain, right? Well, we see things here at Fitness Line Down like a garden. So all of our clients that come in are very unique individuals. They all have their own personality traits. They all have their physical journey that they've been on, that they're still on, that they're going towards. And we don't have any like high expectations in regards to timetables. Like we want you to blossom. We want you to bear fruit. But we're not worried if it's going to happen next week, next month, or even next year. Because some plants need some more tender, loving care. Some plants need some more sunshine. Some plants need a little bit more watering. Some plants don't need a lot of anything. They just grow, they blossom, and they flourish, and they bear fruit with a little bit of coaching. And so it's a great dynamic to have. So I just want to be careful, because I do feel like, you know, if you're listening to these podcasts, it's like, oh, Fitness Line Down is just a place where kind of people go that don't want to exercise hard. You know, and we got to be careful when we say that kind of stuff, because it's very relative. Like, it's that whole, oh my goodness, it drives me nuts, the trainers that, hey, my warm-up is your workout. You know, like, what a jerk thing to say. You got people that work out all the time, and you got somebody that's not necessarily conditioned. And yeah, maybe they go through your work, maybe they go through your warm-up, and they're tired because of that warm-up. Maybe that's where you stopped the session that day. But hey, great job. You got through a lot of things. You were successful. Let's call it good. But no, we in this industry, in this culture, we need to go farther. We have to absolutely show you everything we can do. Like, we got to take you out and we got to run you hard. Now, run, I don't mean like actually go outside and run, but we got to make sure that we show you that we know what we're talking about by totally obliterating you. That you wake up tomorrow and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so sore. And we celebrate that because that showed you that I'm good at what I do. That's where our mentality is. But actually, no. It's kind of funny here because we'll ask a client, new clients especially. I mean, we're always asking clients. It probably is one of those things where clients are like, will they stop? I don't know. Maybe they don't want us to stop. But hey, how are you feeling? How was that session? How did you feel after that session? How did you feel after that exercise? We're constantly trying to get this input from them so that we know, is this actually working? And the funny thing is, I've talked about, is it's not just necessarily the verbal what we get. A lot of times they might say yeah, but how they say yeah, how they say, it feels good. It feels fine. It feels okay. And sometimes that causes some more discussion. Like if it's an immediate, feels great. All right, well then I feel pretty confident that you know what that is. But if it's like, it feels okay. Okay, well tell me, like, is there anything else about that okay? Because I do believe okay is better than the other thing that could be said. But at the same time, I'm looking for better than okay. And so it could just be we're not at the same level of communication. Maybe their okay is like, hey, that was actually pretty good. But that's how I talk about it. So this is relationship building. This is trust building here between the client and the trainer. So as we're doing this, we're talking to everybody, hey, how's the feeling? Well, new clients are like, you know, I really wasn't that sore. And I think they might be expecting us to be like, oh, well, shoot, that sucks. You know, but and what we do is we're like, well, that's great. Because what does that tell us? That tells us that the dosage of exercises that we gave you, the amount of volume, the actual exercises themselves, like everything all in the package together, was not more than you could overcome for recovery. That's where the soreness happens. Now, some of the soreness that happens, like, oh man, my upper back feels pretty sore because of some of those exercises. Or, you know, like, I wouldn't say pretty sore, but yeah, ooh, I felt my glutes a little bit, or, you know, my core, I felt a lot of core muscles here. You know, I'm a little sore in the core. I think that's okay. That's definitely okay. But it's that whole debilitating, and you know what I'm talking about for all of you listeners, because I know you've been in workouts where it's like sitting down to go to the bathroom was difficult. You know, getting up out of a seated position is like, oh, stairs, no way. You know, that debilitating soreness, that's where we don't want you to go. And if you're experiencing that, what that's telling us is that the fact of work that you put in was a lot more than what you could recover from. So we don't want that from our clients, period. I don't mind a little soreness here and there. For some of our more seasoned clients, if they're a little bit more sore from a session, I'm okay with that because they kind of know where they're at. They know what needs to be recovered. So it's again, very relative, but at the same time, we should not be chasing soreness. We should not be making that as an indicator of what is a good workout. So I feel like I'm really going off on other tangents now, but the big thing, the big picture that I want for this little piece here is the fact that, yes, we harp on fitness, we harp on the industry, we harp on professionals, that they should know better, they should be more educated, they should be willing to learn and grow and not to be so influenced by the internet. But we want clients to also understand that, hey, they do want the best for you. Now, Josh and I talked about it a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, I do believe the fitness influencers that are on social media, they're not looking out for the best for you. It's the trainers that might be at your local gym, at the local YMCA, at your local Anytime Fitness or anything. These individuals that are breathing, that have heart pumping, that have emotions, right? That aren't walking around with their shirts off all day filming themselves. They honestly want the best for you. But they don't know what that is quite yet. They know what they know, which is all they know, but it's very limited because maybe they don't have the experience. Maybe they're not open to the experience because the people that are telling them what they should be doing don't have the experience. So allowing some grace, you know, but also at the same time, as I mentioned, you have to be your own advocate. So if you're working with a trainer and they might have your best intentions, they're the sweetest person and they want what's best for you. But if you continue to have issues working with these people, even after communication, and you're still having these issues, it might be time to tell little Joey, little Susie, I'm going to move on. Like, thank you. You're a great person, but I'm moving on. And hopefully, like, I've had people that, like, that's happened to me in my past, you know, as a young trainer, is that I've had people leave me. And maybe the communication wasn't there, but I'm pretty sure they left me because they were probably in more pain after our sessions put together than they were feeling better about their bodies. Sure, did they lose some weight? Did they improve their bench press? Did their squats improve? You know, did their arms get more defined? Yeah. But you know what else happened? Their knees were hurting a little bit probably, their shoulders, their low back. And they just kind of weigh the stuff like, hey, I look better, but I don't feel as good. So I'm going to stop. And that's just part of the growing process of the fitness professional. But what I also want to kind of share is that, are we just the gym where all the people come that are kind of broken and they don't want to exercise, and but we give them more opportunities and we kind of change the color of the exercise. We wrap it up as a different package. Hey, you're not exercising, you're moving. And, you know, people like it more. Yeah, we do that. But is that all we do? No. We have clients that come in that want to be pushed every session. You know, and this is the cool thing about the dynamics of like a family, is that not everybody's just the same. You have a lot of people that are in different places. They have different goals. They have different ideas, mentality. I mean, everybody's so unique. But we do have the clients that come in. It's like, hey, I want to be pushed. I want you to just take me to my limits. And we do so, but as the professionals, we also do it smartly. So that's the great thing, is because I think about some of the other gyms where it's like, hey, I want to get pushed. And it's like, all right, we're going to do squats. Then we're going to do lunges. And then we're going to do jump squats. And then we're going to do split squats. And then we're going to do jump lunges. Then we're going to do walking lunges. And we're going to do all this. Like, there's a lot of redundancy in our exercise programming. So the person gets smoked for sure. But their knees, I mean, it's just so much on one body part, one body area, that it's like they're sore. So we can take people to the limit, but we're going to do so in a way that's going to be, it's going to honor the body's movement patterns, right? It's going to honor how, and not maybe the movement patterns per se, but how the body should be moving. And we're going to make sure that the dosage is still there. So we see intensity a lot differently than other people. Our intensity is not the fact of, we're going to push you till you're about to die. No, our intensity is actually, hey, you're going to probably do lower reps than you might do, but you're going to have a higher amount of rest. So the volume is going to be low. Like we've talked about before with our metabolic resistance training, 15 seconds. I want work for 15 seconds, and then you get a 45-second break. And you might be thinking like, wow, 15 seconds is not a lot of time, and 45 seconds is way too much. Well, if you do this right, and if you're loading correctly, that 45 seconds ends up not being enough time because you've worked so hard for 15 seconds. You have been loaded. You've been given a load that's been maximizing your potential and it's taking you to that limit. So you get 45 seconds. Yeah, you get three times the rest that you do with the work, but towards the end of the session, it just is not enough, you know, because you're working so hard. That's intensity. Intensity is not just high tired training. We're like, we're going to do 45 seconds on with a 15 second break. We're going to do 50 seconds of work with a 10 second break. That is an equation, that is a formula for failure. That is a formula for injury. That is a formula for people being burnt out. So we like repeat customers. I'm not going to lie. We like our people to keep coming back. We want you to use our gym. We want you to throw our sandbags around. We want you to be tossing the kettlebells, right? Stretching out the resistance bands. But we don't want you to do that at the point where you're about to be broken as a result. So for those clients that come in, yeah, for sure. Like we can push you as hard as you actually need. But I think a lot of trainers, myself included back in the day, that's all we wanted to do is we wanted to take everybody and we wanted to push you past your 100%. And what is your 100%? Well, I think your 100% changes daily. You know, you might have a day where you slept amazing. Life is going great. Your body just feels awesome. And, you know, the amazing thing about all that is how your brain is actually operating everything if you listen to the previous podcast. But you're just at a point where it's like, I kind of want to go a little bit beast mode today. I want to lift a little heavier weight. I feel great. So we can do that. But then you're 100% the next day might be like, oh, man, it took me everything I could to get through this door. And so your 100% might be a little bit lower that day. Well, we can honor that as well. But we do have a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of our clients that come in and their 100% is pretty high every day. And they're looking for that push. And we're more than happy to give it to them. But it's also that point of being intuitive as a coach. That as much as the program says what we're going to do that day, that, hey, yeah, you came in. You're not feeling that 100% that you showed last week. Well, we can do a few things to your program. And anybody that's been listening to this podcast long enough knows it's not just, like I said before, we're not just going to give you a bunch of irrelevant exercises that are also irreverent, irrelevant exercises that have nothing to do with your goals. We have the ability to change your body position, change your holding position without even changing the weight. Sometimes, yeah. Do we have to go a little bit lower? Sure. But there's a lot of times where if we just make a little difference, so instead of being on both knees overhead pressing, we're just going to have you stand overhead press the same weight. And the amount of intensity is going to change. It's going to actually reduce because you have a more stable body position. Maybe instead of using a kettlebell to overhead press, we're going to throw a sandbag up on you and you're going to overhead press that. Maybe instead of doing a bent over row because your back's bothering you, we're going to substitute. We're going to use a heavy band. We're just going to have you stand and row. Perfect. Problem solved. You leave with your goals supported. You feel better than you did when you showed up. You're coming back for more. And we're happy to deliver. But it is amazing, though, how many times like we get people that just want. I mean, they're like almost a blank canvas. No shoulder problems, no hip problems, no knee problems for the better part of their life. And it's like, hey, I will do basically whatever you tell me to do. Like, you want me to do this? I will do that. You want me to do that? I'll do that. And I just recently, we signed up somebody. Relatively, I always want to be careful because I want to say this individual's quote unquote in shape. It looks like they've been working out. But what is in shape when it comes to like our in shape? I mean, when you have your, it's again, languages almost. This person speaks normal gym language, right? So they go to the regular traditional gym, they do traditional exercises. Well, they kind of discovered us and they like how we're more functional, I guess you could say. How we connect things. I think that's what they use. Well, now they have to learn a new language, though, because even though it's like a different dialect, if you think about it this way, that they know the language of the gym, barbells, dumbbells, and that's pretty straightforward. But when they come here now, and they actually have to be more intentional about what they're doing, okay, so we got this person that comes in relatively in shape, took her through some sessions, looks good, actually a pretty tremendous mover, but we can always improve that. Well, when we were signing up for one of our trials, her question was, can I do this 3 days a week, but still do my other gym stuff 2 days a week? And it's like, yes. Why can't you do that? You know, I know we've talked about before in the fitness industry about overtraining. Like, you don't want to overtrain. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think overtraining is nearly impossible for the general population. You're not overtraining. Just because you because you set time aside 5, 6, 7 days a week to exercise doesn't mean you're going to overtrain. But I told this individual, like, you have to be smart about this. So maybe one day you show up and we push you pretty hard and you take it to the limit. And then you wake up the next day and you're about to go to your traditional gym and do your traditional gym exercises, but your body's a little bit more sore, you know? So maybe you want to do the certain exercise, but maybe you have to change something up. Maybe you have to change the load that you're using. Maybe you have to change up the volume a little bit. Maybe you have to make a little bit of a difference. So let's just say, for example, if this person wanted to do the old barbell bench press, well, maybe what you need is you should take a couple dumbbells and do the flat bench press with the dumbbells. So that way, a little more range of motion, not so intense, not so like compensatory, because that's what the barbell can offer, is that one side is going to be a little bit stronger than the other. So it's just nice to change that intensity up daily. And that's how we survive here as coaches, is we work out 3, 4, 5 days a week, but we also kind of interject our own ways of intensity. So there are some days where we dial it up, we get pretty intense. Other days, we take it back down. Some days, I just like to enjoy a good MIM practice, because as I'm taking people through classes, I'm still learning all this stuff. I'm enhancing my vocabulary. I'm expanding my MIM vocabulary, that I do this by practice, because I'm not just going to watch videos and read things. I need to actually put my body on the floor and do things. And that's the same with like our DVRT exercises. How long, how many max lunges have I done? But how many times that I'm doing them, do I feel like I'm learning a little bit more? I'm getting a little deeper. I'm helping the cueing system, that when I'm working with somebody, I can provide a better cue for that person. I can coach it a lot better so that they're more efficient with that exercise. So it is pretty fun that we can have people that come in a lot of times. And, you know, I think about in our group training, I saw this individual, for instance, that, hey, in our group sessions, because it's not just a one size fits all, we do have level 1, level 2, and level 3 for most of our exercises that we provide. And I know from the outside, it thinks, okay, level 1 has got to be the easiest. Level 2 for the intermediate, level 3 for the most advanced. I'm going to say that that's not actually the way that we view this. I look at level 1 as being the most stable. Level 2, a little less stable. Level 3, the least stable. Now, what do I mean by stable? Well, stable could be body position, could be holding position. So let's just say, for instance, let's use the overhead press. And let's say we're using an ultimate sandbag. Well, let's say level 1 is you standing, both feet flat on the ground. You're standing, overhead pressing, very stable. Level 2, both knees down, overhead pressing. Less stable than standing. Requires a little bit more core stability. Level 3, half kneeling. So all of a sudden now I've reduced the amount of surface area that you have. Actually, I've kind of increased it to some degree from tall kneeling, because where your feet are positioned, you have a little bit more surface area. However, there is a little bit more instability, because with the knees split the way they are, your body kind of wants to shake a little bit side to side, wants to sway side to side. And you have to resist that, because when I'm standing, when I have both knees on the ground, I can keep a relatively perpendicular and stable trunk. My pillar is very strong. But as soon as I split my knees like this, well, then there's a chance that my body wants to kind of like twist and turn as I'm overhead pressing. So what usually happens is that for some people, when they do the least stable, the level 3, they have to use a little bit of a lighter load because it's more challenging for them. But when they're in a more stable position, they can use a little bit heavier of a load. So I find a lot of our clients, maybe some days will choose like a level 1. Because they just want to go heavier and they like being more stable. And then another session, another week, they're going to choose a level 2 or level 3 because they want to be a little more challenged in a different way. So that's how we can add all the variables in and create that menu option where it's always going to be just a little bit different. And yes, when we have a brand new person, we're always going to be bringing them to level 1. And even sometimes there's actually a level before level 1 for some of these exercises, because we just need to make sure that they're able to start speaking the movement language that we're teaching before they move on to the next drill. It's like any other thing. Before you start creating words, you have to start knowing letters, and you have to start knowing the sounds that those letters make. So we want you to start demonstrating, like, hey, do you know this movement pattern? Okay, you're showing us that you know it very well. Let's kind of put it in action a little bit more. Let's now start making sounds, and we start making words, and we start making sentences. Before you know it, we're writing books. And that is just the best way to put it. So the fact of, yes, we are the garden. We are not the mold. We have so many of our clients that they don't like to exercise. They don't want to push themselves past those limits because they know that if they go past that, the rest of their day, maybe even their week, is going to be shot because of how their body responds to that overstimulation. We've overworked them. We got that saying on the wall here that anybody can make you tired. That's so easy. So, I mean, for the people that come in that want to be pushed, we still do so in a way that's smart. So we're not going to be just like, hey, we're going to crush you by just making you do all the jumping in the world right now in one session. But it's a little bit easier to push those people. However, I mean, there's also the coin flip that it does get a little challenging because as they get better and better, we have to up our game when it comes to creating a little bit more of that training effect for them to keep them engaged, which is not actually as hard. It's more fun than it is anything else. But back to that saying, anybody can make you tired. Not everyone can make you better. So for a lot of those people that come in, they're not looking to be pushed like that. They want to come in. They don't mind a little bit of sweat here and there, but they don't want to be buried. They don't want to feel like I'm just depleted of everything right now. They want to come in. They want to move. They want to have a little strength training because they know the strength training has the benefits that works for osteoporosis, heart health, lung health, overall body health. They understand lean mass versus fat mass, and they understand how strength training can help all of that. And that's totally true. What I don't like is how strength training and exercise can just be all balled into one category. So I know I've talked to a few clients that talk about strength training and how some of the doctors say, well, we don't want you to do this kind of strength, or we don't want you to strength train because of X, Y, and Z. But the strength training that they're talking about is more that traditional, conventional strength training. They don't quite understand how we're actually doing more movement training here. We're creating more movement strength by not loading people. We're not loading spines with barbells on backs. We're not creating these problematic knees by doing leg presses and leg extensions and leg curls, all this kind of jazz. We're making sure that we're treating the body as a whole. And I'm not just talking about the physical whole. I'm talking about that emotional whole as well, that mind-body connection, that we can relate to those clients, we can meet them where they're at, and we can give them a program that's going to make them successful, supportive of their goals. And when they leave, they feel good and they want to come back. That's a great challenge. So anybody that's in this industry, this is what we should be striving for. And that's going to challenge us because it's going to put us out of our comfort area. We have to actually start thinking a little bit more. We have to start understanding our clients a little bit better. We have to invest some time in this. And it makes things so much more interesting. Because I do remember the old days where it's just like, person comes in, client A, beat them up, done. Client B, beat them up with that same program I give client A. Client C, beat them up. Oh, can't do push-ups? All right, we'll just go to the knees. We'll modify so that you don't have any way of building into a better push-up per se. So, all right. Whew. Just know that here at Fitness Lying Down, it's not about just working with people that don't want to exercise, people that don't want to be pushed to the limit. We have plenty of clients out there that want to be pushed, that like that challenge, that want to be, I wouldn't say fail, but they want to find that point where it's like, oh my goodness, like that's a really difficult exercise. It's going to take me a little while to get better at that. That's awesome. Right. So it's about the garden and the mold. We shouldn't just be treating this as a one-size-fits-all industry. We should make sure that we are getting better as an industry so that we can help people, because that's ultimately what we want to do anyway. And like anybody else that's going to be in a profession that helps human beings, they spend a lot of time learning their craft, learning how to be better, finding research, listening to the smart people, and being better as a profession. So that's all I'm asking is, let's just go out there and let's be comfortable being uncomfortable. That's a hard thing to do as a professional, but you know what we do is we ask that of our clients day in and day out. Because a lot of people are uncomfortable being in the gym, and we're just like, hey, maybe you should be comfortable here. All right. With all that said, everybody, until the next time, Godspeed.